To go ahead and call this LTD Finance Committee meeting to order. So we do have Josh and Emily on the phone. I'm going to have everyone say their names so you know, because I hate it when I'm on the phone and I don't know who's else in the room. We can start with Matt.
This is Matt, Director of Fleet.
Rebecca Hay, Materials Management Supervisor.
Kalina Beer, Director of Business Services.
Mark Johnson.
Sean Walker, Legal Counsel.
Did you guys get all that?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, well, let's get straight to business then. First of all is approval of minutes.
I move to approve the minutes.
Great. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Great. So Josh has moved. Emily has seconded approval of minutes. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Is that aye from you, Emily?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. So it is approved unanimously. So let's get to our first contract, which is New Flyer of America. I think both of you received a memo from AJ regarding some questions.
Yes, I was sort of in transit, so I'm only able to pull it up now. But yes, I have.
Oh, good, good. Well, I thought everything merited discussion. Josh, thank you for asking those questions. I actually had similar ones myself. So with that, actually, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Matt, did you want to make a presentation?
No, what we can say is this has been something we've been going through, and I think the community has wanted electrification. We've piloted and tested out a few buses that we appreciate what it's showing as far as operational cost and life costs that we believe would be reduced. So knowing that, we went out for solicitation of 11 electric vehicles as a result of secured funding. And we're presenting before the finance committee to look at this and see if we want to move that forward to the board.
Great. Thanks, Matt. I imagine there are probably a few questions, even in addition to what the memo has. So I open the floor to whoever would like to ask. I can't see you, so you'll have to just say it.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, maybe I'll just give, and Matt, you know, tell me what the right level of detail is to think of this at. But the spirit of my first question was just that I know, and I can see in the memo, the, you know, reference to, the, you know, that there are different categories in which you score, you know, a contract like this, not just low bid. And the materials that we had in the packet just seemed very light. And I just wanted to make sure that we were doing our due diligence. I mean, you know, to be blunt, this contract is more than all previous contracts that Emily and I have seen on our time in the Finance Committee combined. So I just wanted to take it seriously and make sure we understood the rationale behind the choice. And as I said, I just got the memo, so I haven't had time to think too hard about it.
Hey, Josh, this is Kalina.
Hey,
so in response to that, you didn't see a lot of the detail that you're looking for because we, for several reasons, we looked at utilizing a cooperative agreement. That's something that is promoted by FTA when we have the opportunity to do that. And I think that you all may be aware, we discussed earlier that we had interest in sort of piggybacking off of the Washington State contract. That actual solicitation fell through via protest. And we were made aware of the California contract, which gave us the type of buses that we were looking for. Additionally, the process that they went through, we went through our checklist, made sure that everything was above board and in alignment and compliance with FTA rules and regulations. And as a result, we thought that this would be the best route for us to take in order to receive delivery of the vehicles as soon as we possibly could without having to go through a full-blown solicitation ourselves.
Okay, that's great. And yes, I definitely remember the previous solicitation, the fact that it fell apart due to protests, and am thrilled that we had another one that we could sign on to with another state. So that seems like a totally sensible procurement path. So let me understand. Does that mean, I mean, it still seems as if we were doing our own procurement under that umbrella. So we could, in theory, have chosen, I mean, we solicited quotes from both New Flyer and Proterra.
Why do we?
I don't know. It feels like we don't quite have enough. We don't have a lot to go on
So ultimately, the benefit of using a cooperative agreement is that the previous firm, when you've already gone through and we verify that they have followed the process and what that is, even before we decide that we're going to piggyback or jump onto or purchase from that particular agreement, we have to make sure that they included all of the appropriate clauses, that they followed all of the appropriate steps, that they went through everything, and they have to provide all of that information to us. So I was able to review that information, make sure that everything was in alignment. And so the benefit of that is that then your vendors are technically qualified. So we don't have to go through and do the technical qualifying or say you meet this minimum whatever. They've already been technically qualified, and who's been chosen, we know that they are able to deliver to us what it is that we need. Now, the only thing that we need to do, and this is from an FTA standpoint, is make sure that the cost, the price that they are quoting to us is fair and reasonable. Excuse me. And so in order to do that, you're going to request a quote. Additionally, because buses are custom vehicles, the price that they quoted to California would be for their initial purchase. But there are mechanisms that are written into the contract that say, based on the time that you make your order and based on what the producer price index is for that particular period of time, they're able to add that on to the price that they quoted. So what we have stabilized is we have vendors that are technically qualified, but we also have base pricing. Because what they're bidding is a base bus, and then there are customizations that we're going to make based on how we put our service out that we add to that they get to price out. And so not only did they provide us the pricing for the customizations that we made, but they did some things. We had some requirements for warranty that we asked for, so that was different than the warranty that was in the California contract. And we also wanted to see how aggressive they could be about their delivery schedule. And so while the delivery schedule wasn't anything that we evaluated, it was something that we were able to look at in terms of our overall price analysis to see what the best benefit, not only that we were taking a low bid, but it was to the best or the greater good of the district. Does that make sense or help?
Does for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe I should just ask this. Is there a reason, I mean, is it like protected commercial information? Is there a reason that we didn't just get like a final scoring sheet, you know, that is sort of the punchline of the decision process?
For California or for LTD?
Oh, for LTD only, I was thinking.
So there wasn't a scoring. So there isn't a scoring for LTD. It's just bid. We're looking at low price. So when there's
interesting.
I just want to make sure Emily has a chance. And I'll come back to you too, Josh, but just make sure. Emily, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask?
No, I think I'm following all of this so far. Okay. I guess from a, you know, just sort of, I always like to understand the person who's reviewing the contract sort of mindset. So Kalina, is it okay if we ask, was there anything that you had concerns about during the process? Anything that threw up a red flag, or is this 100% confidence level to proceed?
I felt 100% to proceed. In particular, if you look at the second page on the memo, where it kind of gives you some bullets, and to me, these are the value-added things that come along with New Flyer. How they were ranked on the California solicitation. Of note to me in regard to how we're moving forward is that next to last bullet at the top. The fact that they rated highest and met or exceeded the requirements in the ISO 14001, and that's just in regard to that's a set of standards that has to do with an organization's the process that they go through to eliminate their carbon emissions and greenhouse gases and all of that stuff. And then the ISO 9001 is a set of standards regarding their quality management. They met or exceeded the requirements in that regard. And to us, in light of our experience with BYD, that kind of, for me, I guess, squashed any concerns there.
Okay. And is it appropriate to ask who the other four vendors were that we didn't get any information on, just out of curiosity?
So in this regard, the only vendors that were awarded the contract for California were Proterra and New Flyer. So we did not engage with any of the other vendors.
I see. Okay, thank you. That's all I have. Thanks, Carl.
No problem. Judge, I'll come back to you in a minute. I just want to ask a few quick questions. I was wondering what some of the other value-added things with New Flyer that, you know, since we have some New Flyer buses, are there like parts and other maintenance things that kind of help us in that regard? I see head nods, but if you could explain further, that'd be great.
Yes, this is Matt, and absolutely. Anytime that you go and have a new a manufacturer, an OEM that you're familiar with, there is some value add. We didn't want to make that be our only decision because we see a value in competition, and so that's why we didn't just score anything higher, that we wanted to see the price. But yes, New Flyer, we have 50% of our fleet is New Flyer. There's some familiarity with that when we're getting into electrification, where most of the stuff is just the propulsion system that changes, but a lot of your subcomponents will still stay the same for help with our team. That is a value add, exactly. Some other value adds is, I think the schedule, we're looking at the schedule, and if you compare, because we asked, it wasn't a part of the evaluation, but it is something we saw that New Flyer was really aggressive in their scheduling. What we did is, we didn't have that as a scoring criteria specifically, but what it did give us is the ability to communicate in our AIS where we think and how we think the schedule will play in a part from a community benefit.
So,
what's the difference? Mark asked that question, and probably 5 months. Looking at the proposed schedule, New Flyer was able to deliver all 11 buses before Proterra was even going to be able to deliver one.
So would you say that because of our experience with New Flyer in terms of durability and reliability, we're pretty confident in based on that experience?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they don't have as many electric propulsion vehicles out on the line. Yeah. They are competent in doing that, so we don't have any concern with being delivered.
So actually, my next question is about exactly that. Carl, did you have more?
But that's good. If it segues perfectly, go for it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It actually does. I hear what you're saying, Matt, but these numbers in the answer to number two are astonishingly low, in my view, and I'm curious about how you discuss this. BYD, for all of its challenges, has literally several tens of thousands of electric buses in operation. To see these numbers that don't even crest three digits is a real concern to me. Mm-hmm. Tell me how that came up in the conversation and what assurances we have that we're not going to end up in another pilot project, essentially.
I think... I'll go back to some of the evaluation criteria that was in the state of California, and one of the ones that they asked is performance and customer references. I think one thing we didn't add is New Flyer actually scored higher in that than Proterra. So that's not to deflect what you're asking, Josh, but yes, there is opportunity, and we have partner agencies that had struggles with every OEM. That is something in any surfacing technology that you will have. We see those problems or those opportunities continuing to be jumped over from New Flyer. as well as Proterra, but the numbers are definitely in Proterra's favor as far as how many buses that they have in America compared to New Flyer. But I think what we've seen and observed from just some partner agencies, they continue to work on that, and they do provide a bus out there that will meet the needs of communities, as well as we know and confident that they'll meet the needs of our community. So there is no guarantee that we won't have hurdles or opportunities to kind of jump over, I think, but we are confident in their partnership that they'll continue to meet and service us through the long term.
Josh, if I could ask a kind of follow-up question. Matt, are there any design, fundamental design differences between Proterra's bus and New Flyer's bus that could potentially be an issue? Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I can't remember which one's which. I know one of them, I think, houses the batteries up on the roof. Or maybe they both do.
Proterra, their standard bus is the batteries are at the bottom, underneath the actual bus.
Okay.
And so one of the benefits that they share is that gives you a better center of gravity.
Right.
Where New Flyers, they're kind of getting into the propulsion system and putting batteries where they fit on an already established bus. So
if Proterra is on the base, then New Flyer must be on the roof then. Because
I think that's where some of them, I think they have them splattered throughout.
Okay.
Not always. It all depends on what kilowatt that battery packs that you're storing. So.
I mean, and so, you know, using that as one kind of example, are there any significant differences between these or other differences between these two buses that we might want to consider before deciding to go down one road or the other?
You know, Proterra is a composite bus. That's unique to us. There's no local people in the Pacific Northwest that we are familiar with if there is damage. So that's a risk. Whereas the New Flyer, it's a standard body with a steel structure. So that's one thing Proterra has. I think part of that is for a weight. It's a structural composite. So that is something different. There are probably a lot of little things. Proterra, when they got into the buses, they utilized the partnerships that they made from the get-go. And so now they're just starting to expand some of their partnerships with some of the suppliers of the other components, like their HVAC systems and some of the other things. So they built a bus and have proven that it can build a good bus, but now they're making additional partnerships outside of just who they initially partnered with.
So I guess what I think I'm hearing you say is that from your vantage point right now, you can't see anything that would be like, oh, this could be potentially a problem going, or one bus has something significantly potentially better than the other.
We were comfortable with bringing either or based upon low price with what we did. They both build a good bus, we believe.
Oh, okay. And before I forget, with the charging system, is there anything, I know they're both proprietary, unique to each company, but is there anything notable with their charging systems?
Actually, so what you're seeing now is BYD's. They were proprietary to BYD. Proterra is getting into the charging infrastructure, but their charger would actually charge other different manufacturers. You're starting to see some standardization with the electric buses where people are realizing that they need to be more flexible. And so whether we went with Proterra or New Flyer, their charging would charge either or. There's some software kind of hurdles you'd have to jump, but their actual plug-in would meet. That being said, nothing will meet with BYDs, the current BYDs we currently have.
Okay. Great. Emily or Josh, any other questions?
Just a few. I was going to say, can we... Because all these, I mean, presumably lots of other people are getting in the pipeline via the California cooperative agreement as well. Can we make sure that we get there, that our buses come at least 300 buses from now or something like that? That sounds like another one of my stupid jokes, but I mean, like, I guess I am curious what we're doing to protect ourselves from the newness, right? I mean, all this stuff is better when it's been standardized. Even BYD, right? We have all this evidence now that a new BYD bus is way better than a 2-year-old BYD bus because of all the learning by doing. So I'm curious, like, what are we building into the contract to ensure? And tell me if this is not the appropriate venue to talk about this, but I want to know what assurances we have, kind of the way we had this amazing ironclad agreement with BYD, for them to be on the hook for all this stuff. What are we doing to protect ourselves against, you know, the stuff that's inevitably going to come up?
The standard terms and conditions that are have been provided to the industry from APTA, as well as from FTA, protect us as the receiving agency in that term. So all of the liquidated damages, errors and omissions, all of those things are standard in a bus contract. So the mechanisms that we have in the BYD contract are not specific to BYD. They were standard terms and conditions that were adapted out of what's known as the APTA bus standards.
Got it. Okay. That's helpful. Okay.
Right.
So we'll have something very similar or nearly identical here.
Absolutely. And so in specifically the California procurement, there was a new standard that was developed specifically for electric buses. And so that California solicitation was based on that. And so there are some specific terms and conditions that have been placed into that solicitation and the resulting contract that would cover us in that regard as well. And of course, we have our great legal team. Their legal minds are going to make sure that we're covered on that end. I think as best as we can, we do have to still keep in mind that it is an emerging technology. And I think staff and their technical expertise, that's Matt and his team, my team, and looking from the procurement standpoint, our general counsel as our backup, but also the expertise that we're getting from CTE, just, you know, they also took a look at the California contract, and there was nothing that alarmed them as well. And so, you know, we felt no qualms about moving forward with pursuing this contract.
Galena, since you mentioned the CTE,
yeah,
and I don't know if I'm asking this the best way, but I think one of the reasons why we like CTE was because of all their benchmarking data. Do we feel like New Flyer got there, or that we feel comfortable enough with their benchmarking information, or where are we at on that front?
I think in general, you know, you ask for the basic benchmarking, which comes, the buses are tested at Altoona. And so the test results that you get from Altoona let us know. I mean, I don't know that there's any certainty for them all. I mean, as we see with our BYDs, we've got 5 buses, 1.5, 2, which are working. But if we looked at their Altoona test report, you know, we thought, yeah, it was going to meet it. I mean, as much as possible, I think FTA gives us as many tools as possible to make sure that we are managing our risks, assessing and managing our risks appropriately.
Great.
Well, and my reference to CTE and my questions was less about CTE's gathering of information on us and more about the fact that they're doing this for many different transit agencies and other fleets. And so one would hope that they would have some insight to share from all of their other clients in terms of reliability or performance or whatever. Anything there?
I'll just share. We have been talking to them through the process, and I think as they're a consultant, they're not going to be smart about how they talk in regards to specific vendors. So they were aware of choosing the state of California to go for, and there was no red flags as far as don't do that, knowing that the two manufacturers or OEMs were New Flyer and Proterra.
Okay.
So I have, I don't have any more questions, but I do have two thoughts I wanted to share with the committee. So my first thought was, that I'm the kind of person who gets nervous buying anything, and especially 10 things. And I get nervous with just buying like something for a dollar that I don't know anything about. And so given that we're spending like almost $11 million, I had actually asked AJ, like, well, you know, not to go into permanent pilot type situations. And I said, like, well, what if we did pilot like one or two just to kind of see, you know, are these going to be good or not? But, you know, and AJ made a good point, and I think there are two reasons. One, my understanding is that the grant is going to expire. So we don't really have a lot of choice in terms of we got to use the money sooner or later. And then I think the other point is, and Matt, you brought it up, which is that the community has been very strongly letting us know they want these buses out there as soon as possible. And I think I would guess the board also is along the same lines as well, too. And the fact that this particular company it can be aggressive with their schedule, I think, is definitely a value added. So that's the first part. I thought it was important for me to share that. The second thing is going back to how large of a purchase this is. I'm just looking forward to, or looking ahead rather, to when the board gets this. I feel like I don't think we necessarily need to reopen this whole discussion, because I feel like that's the reason we have this committee, is to ask these kinds of questions. But knowing how important this is to our board in general, you know, philosophically, and also the immense expense, I do recommend to staff that we have a sheet that you write down all the reasons why we're doing this. And the way you kind of explained to us, I mean, I think the way you explained to us was great. And I think most people on the board would be able to read that. My measure for your success would be they would look at the piece of paper and they wouldn't really have any questions, and they'd feel foolish for not voting yes on this. But I would just let everyone know, I'd be in supportive of forwarding this along with the to the board with the recommendation to approve.
I have a thought and an ask. My ask is along the same lines as what you just basically commented. I'd love to have either the memo from AJ with responses to Josh's questions in the board packet. But yeah, even better if we could just make the proposal agenda item summary a little bit more robust. I think we can get to exactly what your goal is of not having a big discussion.
Yeah.
Knowing that the contract review committee did the due diligence already, and not put the staff through all of our, you know, interrogations again. My other value add, I actually really liked that Matt shared that there was 50% of our fleet approximately that was already New Flyer.
Yeah.
I do think that's a great value add, especially for saving money on maintenance and all of the parts that go with that. Those are my just final few thoughts.
Matt, did you have a question for Emily? Looked like you had.
What I'll do for that is I'll get the exact numbers as far as our New Flyer fleet, because it is a little higher than 50%. So I'll be more on that.
We're not going to hold you to that number. I
just know. I got a little sweaty.
50-ish.
The ISH is important.
Matt said.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yeah, so that all sounds really good. And Carl, I share your concern about and like hesitation in buying things. So yeah, you know, that's where my questions came from. One suggestion for the materials to go to the board, if there could be some summary, I don't know, half a page or a page, describing the due diligence embodied in the cooperative agreement that California put together, that would be very helpful. Because just hearing, Kalina, just hearing your answers, you know, that all makes sense, but that it was very difficult to detect much of that in the AIS. So if we can have that there so people have seen it, I'm guessing the dollar value, any number that has two commas, much less two numbers to the left of that left-hand comma, I think we'll get people's attention. So if they can see some of that paper trail of due diligence, that would be a big deal. So that's my suggestion. Also, I mean, just for the record, Carl, I appreciate your recognition that the community wants these buses. I want these buses. I want to be clear. Like, I consider myself a reporter for this. I'm asking these questions because I just want it to go well.
Yeah.
On that note, all the protections that we have in, you know, what Kalina enumerated as APTA and FTA criteria for bus contracts aside, we still can't say that the BYD project has gone well. Now, we've been protected from the worst sort of financial fallout, but it hasn't been a success. So I'm wondering, like, I know I made this joke a little while ago, but literally I would love it if we could get our Proterra buses, or sorry, our New Flyer buses, like 500 New Flyer electric buses from now. And I don't know if that's delaying us another week or another month or another 6 months. But I got to be honest, like, I would leave it to the L.A. metros of the world, like really big agencies, to wrestle with these OEMs over these things. And I'd rather just, you know, give up a little piece of our place in line in order to have a better shot at stability. Because, I mean, I really do think we're – I mean, Matt, your answers were great. But, I mean, I think we're not – being appropriately humble about these numbers are might as well be zero for like the number of buses that Proterra has, right? I mean, I know, New Flyer has built. New Flyer, I realize, has been building buses like crazy forever, but these are really, really small numbers for a new technology. And when you think about, I mean, the vehicles that we buy, you know, whether it's a Corolla or an F-150 or something, those are produced by the hundreds of thousands. And I'm very concerned about getting in too early. I know that sounds weird, but I just don't want to rush it. Is there any way to make sense of my request here to, like, put it into, you know, the way we procure these buses?
Josh, this is Mark, and there's two things. One is we need buses, and two is we've got expiring grants, and so we have to commit these funds. And three, you know, you're worrying more about New Flyer than we are, I guess. We've been working with New Flyer for 20 years. And they do a pretty good job on developing fairly new technology fairly quickly. So I appreciate your concerns, but there's some driving forces outside of that just needs us to keep moving on this.
Hey, Mark, just out of curiosity, was the grant, because I thought the grant just said that we had to have them procured by a certain date, not that we had to have them purchased by a certain date. Am I misremembering that?
Yeah, the grant, the funds have to be executed or committed. So,
okay. So if we went through this process, as long as we had the money allocated, we would be okay on the grant.
Yes, but there, I think there is a point in which you have to spend them.
Yeah. Draw down. Yeah.
Sure, of course. And we want to. We want the buses here.
Yeah.
Well, and Mark, I appreciate your points, and I obviously, like, the expiring grant and our aging fleet are obviously compelling reasons. I guess if we procure a bunch of buses that are among the first buses, first electric buses that New Flyer produces, and we end up in a similar situation, then we're going to be back to the drawing board anyway, right? I mean, the BYD buses we have aren't helping us as much as we'd hope. And so I'm just trying to avoid that situation. It's not a generic concern with New Flyer.
I hear you, Josh. And I just want to say, I don't think you're crazy for what you're suggesting, because, I mean, I'll use like Tesla as an example. I think one difference, we'll just explain that more. When Tesla first started putting out their vehicles, the first, I want to say like first 20,000 had some issues. And so, but they were also a brand new car company. They were still figuring it out. And I think the difference here, from my perspective, is New Flyer is not a new company. They've been building buses. My understanding when I talk with AJ about it is that they're an established, and we have, I didn't realize it's more than 50%, but we have a significant number in our fleet, and we've all ridden on them. And I think we would have heard complaints from staff by now if they were had other issues. Now, granted, they have a new drive system or different, technologically different drive system. I'd be very concerned about putting a potentially unreasonable, you know, demand in a contract for a certain, like, we only want, you know, series number 500 and above. I don't. I think I understand your concern. I don't think we're protected actually necessarily if we get bus number 1,000 versus bus number 500, really, except for the fact that, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of assurance that or maybe good feeling knowing that they've been building them for a while. But at some point, we have to just trust that they're going to deliver a product as stated in the contract, and we work with them. We've been a client of theirs for goodness knows how long, 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I think there's a warranty. I think Kalina said that we had requested a better warranty than what California had requested. So yeah. If you guys don't oppose, I'm going to move to forward the contract number 2020-61 to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval. And throw it out there.
I will second with the amendments that have been previously mentioned in terms of additional materials.
Well, I think just to keep order, I think Emily has moved it without the amendment.
So do I need to suggest an amendment?
You'd either not need to not second it.
Okay.
So you have to let this one die. But would you be willing to second Emily's motion without the amendment, Josh?
No.
Okay. Well, I guess then I will second Emily's motion on that one. So it's been moved by Emily, seconded by me. Since I already know there's some dissent, any quick arguments before we go to a vote?
Well, wait, hold on. I guess, yeah, it's not an argument, it's just a question. We had some back and forth about having additional flesh on the bones for the purposes of the AIS that goes before the full board. I mean, I thought you were also in favor of
that.
Yeah,
I see that. I fully trust staff will heed our recommendation because I think they understand. Like, and just to repeat the rationale, I mean, this is a big deal. I want to make sure every board member understands it, but I don't want to rehash the whole thing. But I think there's a way to do it in a way that they, A, know what's happening, and B, know why it's happening, and then we can move on to other business.
Okay. So it sounds like the amendment is just to make the documents more formalized, and you're saying we don't really need to do that.
For that, if that was a concern, my understanding, Josh, was that your amendment was your amendment for something else, or your desire for a different motion?
No, it wasn't for anything else. It was just to include what we already discussed.
I see. Yeah.
No, I am persuaded. I am persuaded by the combination of Kalina, Matt, you, Emily, and Mark.
Excellent. Yeah. And just so you know, this is not an argument. This is just, you know, for pros and cons for approving the motion. So, is there any other discussion for this particular motion?
No.
Okay. So we'll move it to a vote. All those in favor of forwarding this contract to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. The motion passes, and I assume all three of us will be in enthusiastic support of this, because I think it's important. I think they need to see that this wasn't a split vote, that we all wanted this to happen, and we asked some good questions, and we understand what the risks are and what the benefits are, and we'll proceed accordingly.
And we will provide that information to the entire board. So.
Thank you, Mark. Carl, the one thing I want to decide a little bit right now, instead of winging it as we usually do when we get to the full board, is just deciding how we're going to present this, because I think we should, let's sort of learn from our mistakes on that one. Let's decide. I'm fine if you want to do it, I'm fine if Emily does it or if I do it, but we should just say, we talked through this, here were the concerns we had, this is what we talked about, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I just think, just so people know, I mean, this is unusual.
No, I hear you. My plan, and I'll say what my plan was, and I'll see if you two agree, was that I was going to keep it in the consent calendar, but I was going to make sure to make a point of mentioning it and then give all you two opportunities to speak on it as well. And then, and I wasn't anticipating any, what's that word? Anticipating the other board members not approving it.
I think it's always valuable to say that we had a 40-minute robust conversation about due diligence. I think it's reassuring. So,
yeah,
okay.
I guess I don't. The implication of leaving in the consent calendar is sort of at odds with pointing out that we did due diligence. So, I'm not sure how to treat that. I mean, like, we burying $11 million in the consent calendar feels dicey. So, I mean, and I'm not saying you're doing it with diabolical intent. I'm just saying that the appearances are contrary.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, John. I was mistaken. I thought this was one of those consent calendars saying it's not. There is a separate line item for it. Camille just whispered in my ear. I forgot. I thought it's normally, I think normally they're in a consent calendar, right? I'm not crazy. Okay. That's what I thought it was going to be. So, okay. It does have its own light item. So now assured it is very, very going to be very obvious to people that we're voting on an almost $11 million thing.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Not buried in there. Good. Sounds good. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
All good on that one?
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you for all of that, all those questions. Thank you, staff, for answering our questions and for doing your due diligence on that project. I think we all know this is huge for us, and so we just have to, make sure we all know it's huge without arguing about it at the next meeting or discussing it more than we need to. Sorry, not arguing. Okay. Moving on to the next item of business is renaming the finance committee. So. I can say, or does someone want to talk about it? I can talk about it. Yes.
You are probably most appropriate to talk.
Yeah,
about
so I'll say right now, the name needs to be, we need to consider a different name because there's some confusion with the board actually also being called a contract review board set by Ordinance 30. So we have some other options, like we could be called the Business Partnership Committee or the Business Committee. I'm rather partial to just Business Committee myself, so fewer words. And but I'm open to discussion on it, and I'll just tell you right now, I will probably vote for anything you move for unless it's unless it's a swear word, then I probably won't vote for
it. What if the acronyms are a synonym? Anyway, I guess I'm a little bit, I'd like a little bit more background on what other projects or line items that this committee's been tasked with in the past. I just don't know that I have a good sense of what should be, sort of all-encompassing for a name. And I'm also not super concerned about this in general. So
I don't know if this answers your question, Emily, but I think we just want to make sure that the name isn't misleading, but it also doesn't overlap with other existing
right, like names. The budget committee,
yeah. Et cetera. Exactly. And so I think one of the alternate names notably do not have the word contract in them for good reason. And so even though that's the bulk of what we're doing, but we do business and we do evaluate business contracts. But I think business committee gets close enough while differentiating us without misleading anyone what we're actually trying to do, in my opinion.
Just so I understand, I mean, to be fair, contract review committee is actually the most accurate thing, right? I mean, isn't that, it just seems, I mean, I like the idea of using fewer words, Carl, that's good, but business committee doesn't actually communicate anything. I guess I'm concerned, is there, do we use the term contract review board in a bunch of settings? And I apologize if I don't know this, but I actually didn't realize the underlying ordinance there. And so I'm sort of confused.
Oh, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, so this is Sean with legal counsel. The contract review board is a defined term in the public contracting code. And that's a public contracting a board is kind of the appeals board if an entity with whom LTD is contracting has a dispute, then that dispute would go before the contract review board. The default for the contract review board is the board of directors, and that's what LTD has adopted. And so that's the contract review board. Now, very rarely does the actual contract review board actually convene, because very rarely are those, disputes brought before the board. And so I think the concern of the staff is to avoid confusion between contract review committee and the contract review board. However, like I said, that contract review board you know, is a very has very limited function and practically does not operate very often.
Thanks. Someone brought before me, Emily, this might help you too, Josh. So I'm going to reread our purpose under section 1.1 of our bylaws. So it says currently the finance committee was established by LTD, a board of directors, to review and make recommendations to the board regarding contracts that exceed the general manager's delegated contract authority. Using that as a segue, Sean, would there be, I know we're trying to get contract out of her name, but how confusing would it be if we were to still have contract in there, but not call it a contract committee, but like business contract advisory committee? Is that still, do you think that still would cause confusion?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to say because I'm not, you know, here daily, but, you know, personally, it seems like it's not, there would be very rare situations in which the two would be confused, you know, the Contract Review Committee and the Contract Review Board, because the Contract Review Board is very rarely, you know, I think in my couple of years being around, I don't think the Contract Review Board has ever been convened, you know, whereas, you know, the Contract Review Committee is, you know, is literally, you know, describing what this committee does, so...
And the Contract Review Board is actually the board of directors.
That's right.
Right. So this is a subcommittee. So it could be a contract subcommittee or something.
I have a quick question, and sorry to be the potential devil's advocate here. Is anybody opposed to the Contract Review Committee being the new name? I mean, is it that confusing, or is it just something to consider and say, okay, consider it and go ahead and approve the name anyway?
It does seem like it describes what we do better than anything else we've talked about.
Carl, what do you think?
I mean, I guess maybe we can send it back to make sure. But I just took people's word for it that this could potentially cause a confusion. And but I don't know what are the consequences, Sean? Like what? Or do you need more time to let us know?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, I think we're anytime the Contract Review Board actually needs to convene. I think there's you know, that's definitely a situation where I would imagine LTD would engage legal counsel, and I don't think, you know, I'm very certain that we wouldn't confuse, you know, and call in the Contract Review Committee where we should have called in the Contract Review Board. I just don't see that there would be a situation where we would accidentally, use one for the other.
Okay. I wonder if maybe the real words that are really potentially confusing are the contract review part, and then if we were to just change it to something like keep contracts in there, because I feel like if I'm hearing you two correctly, the contract part is important in terms of being descriptive. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm not wedded to that language, but I do want something that describes what we do.
Right.
And contract review is literally what that's the only thing we do that we believe we'll do in an ongoing way. The other stuff that we've done was sort of one-time institutional cleanup of various kinds, right? Sort of approving a bunch of good staff work to, you know, build systems and put them in place.
What if we just took our review? What if it was just contract committee?
Contract committee. There you go, Carl. You get your two-syllable words.
And alliteration.
Yeah. I do like alliteration.
I mean, to be fair, I did have some other suggestions, like contract review and procurement process entity, which spells out crappy.
All right, we should settle on something that's not crappy.
You know,
can I give a little history? So how this committee came about was the board decided, well, we hate to go through all these contracts every board meeting to that much detail. So in reality, every board meeting, when they approve the larger contracts, they are actually serving as the board. as the contracts review board.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're approving the contracts. But so they can, Jay said, well, the finance committee can review those and ask all the questions, you know, and do a little more work before it gets to the board. So we have to do a board meeting. So that's kind of the background of it. So,
and I'll just tag on to that. You know, I do feel like there is a lot of usefulness to this committee, given that like it took us, I would say, about 30 minutes to review that one. And so you can imagine we have a few contracts to review that could eat up a significant amount of board meeting time. And so that's why we have this kind of weird position where we need to make those decisions in our committee, but then make sure that the board, as the contract review board, I guess, right, or contract, yeah, approves it without just rehashing the whole thing again. How about this as a solution? Given that I am not 100% clear on the consequences, I would... what was that one? What was the shorter one? Not the one that Josh had. What was it? The contract committee?
Contract committee. Yeah.
How about I float that back to staff and then have them think about it? And if they don't like it, I would say, here was your mistake, which is never give us a choice. Just
or only give us a choice. Three options.
Yeah. I was joking. Before people talk, let me just quickly finish. It's like, if you could come, you could either just say yes or no on the contract committee and say, yeah, that sounds good. And then we'll vote to approve it. Or come up with what you think would be a better name, given that we have given parameters. Like, we just want a name that really accurately describes what we do here.
So yeah. This is what I'll say. I'm the primary staff.
Oh.
In that regard, outside of AJ, contract committee works. I think that our issue was contract review board
versus
or
committee.
Contract review committee. Would, and so the contract review board is, as Sean said, for reviewing of appeals. And we don't convene that board. Like you said, I've been here 4 years. And we haven't yet, but we do mention that. So that name is in all of our contracts, in our dispute and resolution.
It's taken.
Right. But contract committee is great.
Okay. Hey, okay. We just saved. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just to follow on what Mark said, and also previous references to the bylaws. I think anytime you have the word committee in there, it's understood that it reports to the board, right? I mean, like a committee, all of our committees report to the board. And so I think from a governance standpoint as well, it's totally appropriate. So to hear Kalina say that completely seals the deal for me.
Carl, do you need a motion?
I'll take one, sure.
All right, well, then I'm going to move to propose that we make a recommendation to the board to update the finance committee name to contract committee and all the subsequent changes that implies.
Second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded by Emily and Josh, respectively, to change our name to recommend a change for the committees to contract committee. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 And it passes unanimously. Thank you very much. I do not believe we have any further business. Just looking around, make sure other committee members, we're all good.
I am deeply hurt that my acronym was not accepted, but I'll do better next time.
So noted. thank you, committee, for your review of the new flyer recommendation. I think it was really important. I'm glad we all share similar values on that, and I look forward to having that presented at the next board meeting. So thank you very much, everyone, and have a good evening.
Awesome. You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Meeting adjourned.